Nobody needs to know that. Anyway, go ahead.
That will be cut out.
No, we're keeping it in.
Hi guys.
Hey.
We're back for this episode. We realized it's been a while. We wanted to get episodes out sooner, but
it's just kind of the circumstances that be. Where yeah. It's just both like Robbie has a busy schedule. I've been a lot busier at work lately, and we just haven't had time to record. And also, it's tough to kind of get both of us in a room because obviously he's not up north anymore, so that's happening. And there may have been a couple of audio problems in the last episode.
Yes.
We are trying to address that. I just got a new microphone, so you're hearing us in glorious stereo. Well, between the two of us, I guess. Technically, it's mono. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever, doesn't matter. Anyway, we're here to talk about Gravity Falls.
Yes.
We're going to do a very brief retrospect of Weirdmageddon so far. It's going to be a three-part episode series arc.
Right.
But right now, the only two episodes that we've been able to see are parts one and two, which Robbie will very briefly go over.
Yes, very briefly.
Anyway.
Okay. So,
when we're doing it.
Weirdmageddon part one, the rift has broken, and thus Bill and his demonic, chaotic cohorts have entered the real world and have started causing all kinds of weird stuff, like literal bubbles of weirdness and madness. And so Ford and Dipper try to stop it by sniping Bill with some kind of transdimensional gun that Ford invented. He misses and shoots Bill's hat, which for some reason is made of flesh.
Yeah, it's got a bone now for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got at least one bone.
Yeah, man, seeing him actually get a muscular system was so disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of disturbing stuff in
watching
the first
his body literally become flesh.
Yeah, like ugh. Where he just gets it. They've done the same thing before with Sock Opera, wherein Bill had made that head appear where all the flesh started to like peel off of it, where it went from the skin to the muscles to the skeleton, and then.
Was that Sock Opera?
Yeah, it was Sock Opera. Because, like, Bill showed up on, like, the roof or whatever and then was like, hey, Dipper, I want to try to trick you, but not, but I'm going to be a little bit more discreet about it. And then eventually he ends up taking over Dipper's body. But anyway, yeah, so Bill and his cohorts end up coming into the real world, inhabiting Gravity Falls and enslaving all of the townspeople into what we can only describe as the Iron Throne, Gravity Falls style, full made of people. Like
yeah,
petrified
so he
people.
Petrifies the people and then builds them into his own into a throne.
Lego style, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Lazy Susan.
So then Dipper...
Yeah, so Dipper and Ford are trying to figure out a way to take
Bill. They try to snipe him, fail. Ford gets petrified, and then Dipper tries to attack Bill, fails, and then runs away and ends up...
He's kind of in hiding for a few days. I think he's just trying to elude. They've got these eye bats or something that are apparently petrifying the people and then bringing people up to the pyramid.
Yes.
And obviously Dipper is trying to avoid that. So he tries to avoid all of them, sneaks into a mall and runs into Wendy, who has been holed up in the Edgy on Purpose store, which is great that she's turned into Fort Cash Money.
Sure.
Yeah. No, that's what she spray painted on the thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so they team up forces, and Dipper is starting to lose hope because he's not sure how to fix things because Ford's gone. He doesn't know where Stan is. Mabel's in her prison bubble. The only person he's seen and knows is friendly is Wendy.
Right, well, and Bill also burned all the journals.
Yeah, that's true. So his entire lifeline is gone, and he doesn't know what else to do because that was his entire plan.
Right, so then they end up, they're like, all right, we're going to go free Mabel because that's what they realize they need to do. So they end up meeting Gideon and his Mad Max force of prisoners.
Yep.
At the discount auto mall.
Yep.
And end up taking Gideon hostage to get out, like, to escape, and then drive off, and there's a whole, like...
Well, no, they don't take him hostage, but they elude them.
Well, no, because Wendy literally, like, grabs him,
rips
the key off. Yeah, in order just to escape initially.
Yeah. And then they just, like, toss him to the side like the weird fat baby man that he is.
So then they have there's a lovely chase scene where They go through weirdness bubbles, which was delightful.
Yeah.
I suddenly want to eat worms. Eat worms. Fly south. Next.
But yeah, I love the amount of creativity that goes into it, both of these episodes, but especially the very end of this first episode where they try a bunch of different art styles where they've got anime and there's Chim Chim and Spritel from Speed Racer in the back of the car.
Oh, did I didn't notice that? Them.
Yeah, yeah, they're in there. And then they turn into meat, actual, like, meat puppets. Ooh. And then you see Linda Cardellini and Jason Ritter, who are the voice actors for Wendy and Dipper, respectively, driving the car. They do the same thing with Bill and his, I think his name was, like, White Eyes or something.
No,
or
you
like,
mean with Gideon.
I said Gideon, didn't I?
You said Bill.
Oh, whatever.
Fine.
Anyway, but no, yeah, so Ghost when ass. Yeah, when Gideon and his driver are both chasing after them, they go from being what I think is supposed to be a reference to Money for Nothing by Dire Straits, when they get like that weird blocky kind of animation style, okay. Or like where it looks like a very crude CGI. Like, I think that they were going for Dire Straits with that. Okay, that's all I thought of when I saw it. You've never seen that music video?
No.
It's great. You should check it out. It's good. It's like mid-80s, man. Really? You gotta get on that. Anyway. And then it also goes to Silent, and what was the other one?
Oh, there was, I don't know what it was.
Oh, no, they were women.
Yeah, they were both, like, 1950s women.
Yeah, they had, like, big bouffants. They kind of looked like Miss Yvonne from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then they...
Very well choreographed, too.
Yes.
It was such a fun scene to watch.
So they get past, basically they jump over a canyon and meet Seuss, who has become some sort of folkloric hero.
He's like a desperado, basically.
Yeah. And then they're surrounded by Gideon, and Dipper convinces Gideon, listen, if you really love Mabel, this is not what you need to do. You need to fight Bill.
Maybe don't murder her family and friends to win her affections. It's probably best to not threaten to murder her brother and two best friends.
Yeah, have you considered, I don't know, being an okay person to her family?
Yeah, like, maybe just stop trying to force her to love you.
Yeah.
And, like, Dipper, he's grown so much during this entire season, like,
absolutely,
astronomically, and I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of that
I'm
little
so
non-anime.
Proud of our little anime
boy. Of our little non-anime. But, I'll be honest, I thought that it was a little bit rushed for Gideon to change that
it
quickly.
It is. I think they try and make it feel a little less rushed is there's that mention when they're driving of Ghost Eyes. It's like, if she's really your girlfriend, then why is she in a prison?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, well, she loves me. She just doesn't know it yet. And he's like, I don't know,
said
man.
Every
that's...
abuser ever.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. Like, Ghost Eyes is like, I don't know, man. That seems kind of weird.
It's like, you're kind of weird.
Pretty much.
Well, I like the fact that, like, the prisoners have a better sense of emotional intelligence than Gideon does. And he's supposed to be, like, a 12-year-old, allegedly. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still think he's an old dude. I'm sorry. I kind of hope that that's going to happen in the finale. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I really get the impression he's supposed to be an older guy. Like, how long has Stan had this rivalry with Gideon?
Right.
That's got to get addressed, right?
My only
it has to be.
I don't think so. I don't think it's something they need to
necessarily
address.
I feel like it should a little bit. I don't know. Well, I mean, like, why is it such a threat first? Is it because of just the property itself or, like, all the secrets? Because Gideon clearly knows about, like, how crazy the town is.
Right.
But is he the reason for that? Or, like, was it, like, a deal that he had done with Bill before or no? Because as far as we can tell, the first time that Gideon met Bill was just before the end of the first season. Like, I assume.
Right.
Yeah. So...
Like, I don't know.
Why is it so important to Gideon, I guess, aside from just being power hungry?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's a thing that necessarily needs to be addressed in the series, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess. I still want to know what it is.
Yeah.
But obviously, they've only got one episode left to do it. It's going to be an hour long, so... And, like, I think that they readily acknowledge that there's only so much that they can really talk about, and
right.
Then there's going to be a full-color version of Journal Number 3 that's going to be coming out from Disney Publishing in 2016, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I
think it's coming around maybe, like, May or June, allegedly,
nice.
Hopefully. Maybe July at the latest, who knows. But it's Disney.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, and then one of my favorite highlights from it was Louis C.K.
Oh, my God.
Louis C.K. has to talk to you about getting in his mouth.
It's like, hey, how about you get in my mouth? Like, he's just like a head with, like, a hand.
With a giant arm coming out of his head.
It's like, hey.
Hey.
Just chasing after Dipper, just trying his best and, like, worst, I guess, to be convincing to have someone go into his mouth so he could eat them, presumably.
Hey, are you ignoring me? That's really rude, you know. Come back here.
I want to go talk to my mom.
Not one person. Not one person has gotten in my mouth.
It was, I didn't really know, like, he's just there. I just like that it's just a head and an arm. Like,
he just wants people to get in his mouth.
Yeah, just maybe you should just do it. And so then that's the cliffhanger ending that we have for episode number 2 of Weirdmageddon, which aired, what was it, like 3 weeks afterwards? It was roughly around Thanksgiving.
2 or 3 weeks, yeah.
It was sometime around then. I forget. So. Yeah. Oh, that's right, because Weirdmageddon Part 1 aired just before the Halloween did.
Really?
I think so. Something like that. I don't remember. I don't even know anymore. Maybe if they aired them more closer together.
Maybe if they aired with some kind of consistency.
Yeah, get on it, guys. But no, anyway. Weirdmageddon Part 2.
So Weirdmageddon Part 2, they go into Mabel's bubble prison, which is truly a cleverly designed trap.
Yep.
Because it is a fantasy world that gives you whatever you want.
It's everything you want, but nothing you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
So.
That's prison for you.
They go...
except, you know, freedom. Anyway.
Freedom. So they go into...
Freedom! Go ahead.
Chill, Wallace.
No, I refuse to chill right now.
Very well.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, Mabel is trapped in this world that gives her anything she wants. Sometimes before, like, just gives her stuff. And so she's like, this is perfect. I don't need anything else. And Dipper's like, no, this is BS. Like, we can't do this. I mean, like... And Wendy initially is like, yeah, this is ridiculous. And then Mabel snaps her fingers and Wendy's friends show up to distract her. And then a Mexican wrestler shows up as a literal stand-in for Seuss's dad that he never got to know.
Which was so brutal. Oh, totally. So... Because, like, Seuss gets so happy and you know that it's not real. And it's, like, that's a very, like, it's that... such a messed up thing to do where it's, like, the one thing that Seuss wants most. It's, like, so the idea of the prison bubble is that it gives you essentially anything you want. So Mabel has this insulated world where she's not challenged. She can do whatever she wants. It's got everything that appeals to her, like, knitting, 80s music. Zyler and Kraz are there because, of course, they are and because we love them. And it's just, it's so messed up because it's technically everything that they want and it's a complete wish fulfillment thing, but it's just sad to know that the thing that Seuss wants most is just his dad to be there.
Yeah.
Like, Wendy's makes sense where, like, she just wants to go hang out with her friends and just goof around like she always does.
Yeah.
And, because that's what she spends most of the series doing. And then we later find out what the thing that was designed to seduce Dipper over to never wanting to leave the prison bubble is somehow even worse.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. Like, well, Seuss and Dipper's thing are pretty on par, frankly.
Yeah,
I think like they're equally cruel in the way that they're presented. So. Yeah.
So for Dipper, the world tries to seduce him with a Wendy who wants to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then says, well, in this world, you can be anything you want. So we could be the same age, and then we could date.
It addresses all the shipping questions. And I was like, nope. Backpedaling out of this. Like, as soon as, like, Wendy starts, casually just going, like, man, you're so much smarter than all the other guys here. It's like, red flag number one. Red flag number two is when she's like, well, hey, you know, in this world, we could just, we could just become the same age. And then she's just like, come on, man, take my hand. And she winks at him, which is a nod back to Into the Bunker. And that's immediately when you realize that's not the real Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And Dipper is like, he wants to believe it so badly, but he knows that it's not true. And it's so sad because she turns into cockroaches.
You shouldn't have done that, Dipper.
Oh,
the stuffed animal tree.
Nope, 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 I'm a stuffed animal tree. I love that tree. He's
like
so creepy, but I love him.
So then...
Oh, we should address the other character that showed up that was actually very brutal to see was in Mabel's universe, she can even have another version of Dipper.
Oh, right, yeah.
Dippy Fresh. Who's both loved and loathed by the fandom because they're immediately after the episode aired, there were like, I hate Dippy Fresh or I love Dippy Fresh things popping up all over the place because it's weird that he's basically Kid Vid from the Burger King Kids Club. From the early 90s. Did you not realize that?
No.
Like, that's what they based his design on.
It's
like,
not shocking.
Yeah, all the worst aspects of early 90s marketing designed target kids.
That?
Like, big kids want to eat like big kids.
Because I hated that stupid thing.
Because it's so shoehorned in. He's the rocket power of characters. It's just terrible. Obviously just marketed by a bunch of suits going towards, like, kids like skateboarding and the color purple. Not the Oprah movie, but, you know.
Yeah, kids like playing skateboards.
Kids like backwards hats and weird visor thingies. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's
So Dippy
sad.
Fresh, who popped up as like
a surrogate, I guess.
Sort of as a surrogate, because Dipper was like, "Listen, we have to go back to the real world. This isn't good enough." And she's like, well, thankfully I have a backup who's more supportive. And it's just this obnoxious, hey, Dippy Fresh, I punctuate every sentence with a high five.
And he's really just more of an enabler, really, which is the last thing that Mabel needs in this kind of universe. Yeah. But she's clearly hypnotized or, like, under a spell being in this universe wherein she's just been brainwashed to believe that this is what she wants. And Dipper has to be there as the voice of reason and as the grounded member of the group, just be like, no, this is messed up. This is wrong. We have to figure out some way to get out of here. Because if everybody's getting whatever they want and Dipper's the only one that sees through it, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Because he'll never be able to escape. Or, exactly. He'll never be able to convince them to come out with him alive. Right. So
then there's a trial scene where John Stewart Cat presides.
don't you mean the honorable Meow Meow Kitty Face Schwartzstein?
I literally forgot his actual name.
To be fair, it's a very long name.
I had to write it down. He's just the Meow Wow Cat.
Yeah, with a little judge wig and judge outfit. And he's got a southern accent for some reason. But I guess that was just to try to distract people from the fact that it's John Stewart. But
it's very light, I guess.
You know it's John Stewart.
Whatever.
Yeah. I thought he sounded like Foghorn Leghorn from Looney Tunes, that giant chicken guy. Yeah.
So they have a trial where I constantly forget their names. The two.
Oh, Zyler and Kraz.
Zyler and Kraz.
Yeah, Zyler is the, I think he's the blonde one, and Kraz is the guy with the blue hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they present their case of bad memories for Mabel and Dipper in the real world.
Yeah, like fantasy versus reality. Of, yes. Like all the worst stuff that's happened to them in real world and in real life.
Right.
That, or like all of Mabel's bad memories.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they present this time when they were in like the second grade and some jerk put gum in her hair on picture day.
So sad.
It's very mean.
And I love the 80s laser background that they had.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that thing. I wish I still had.
And there's a memory from a different grade where that was.
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've watched this episode a lot.
I figured.
I love it.
Where Mabel just has, like, a whole box full of, like, Valentines, and then Dipper has absolutely nothing.
But I remember it being, like, after a certain point, there was a rule that you had to give a Valentine to every kid, because that kind of stuff would happen. I don't know when it happened, but I know that when I was in, like, second grade or something, we had to do that.
Yep.
Where it's just like, yeah, you can't isolate kids because this is far too cruel, and we know that eventually you'll do it as an adult, but we need to try to convince you guys to not be horrible to each other between the ages of 5 and 12,
yeah,
I guess.
So
it didn't work, but you know,
we try.
Yeah. You just gotta believe in yourself, though.
Right. So then everyone teases Dipper and he runs away, and then
I'm so sad. I want to give him a hug.
It's a poor old Dip.
Oh, and they call him Dipstick.
Flip-o-dip-dip.
Well, no, that was when Dipper Fred. I hate him so much. I hate him too. I hate Dippy Fresh.
Obnoxious.
I love the idea of him, but he's just, I don't want him to be surrogate Dipper. I like regular Dipper.
Yeah.
He's a good Dipper.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Dipper. I like saying it.
Dipper. Mm-hmm. So then Dipper's counter to that is showing how they support each other in those moments. Mm-hmm. For some reason, Dipper's like, he's like, what, do you have a wig? No, but for some inexplicable reason, I have an electric razor in second grade.
Yeah, like, on picture day, like, there's a kid in second grade that, like, how old do you think he would have been? Like, in second grade is, like, seven, eight,
maybe?
Yeah, like, a seven-year-old that has a razor. Like, number one, why does he have it? Where was he keeping it? And why would he bring a razor to picture day? In case he needed to just, like, trim up his beard? Or, like what? Why?
Was he
going to haze somebody? I don't know. Like, maybe he was... I don't know.
Shave my head for picture day.
Yeah, it's just like... It's like, man, I'm far too nervous. All this hair is making me really warm. Better lose it. No, just like...
It was a little strange.
I'm going as Charles Xavier this year for Halloween. He commits. No, I don't know. But yeah, like, he just pulls a razor out of nowhere.
Right, so he shaves a weird spot in his head and does it for Mabel.
Because what I thought he was going to do was just, like, shave off part of his hair to put on the gum, like, so that it would stick so that you couldn't see it. But no, they just, like, shave a complete line through their hair, and I'm like,
well, okay.
I'm fine. Like, bonding is fine, but I'm like, okay, guys.
I feel like that one's probably an actual story from Alex Hirsch.
I really want to know if that's true.
Life.
I want to hear if the same thing happened with the Valentine thing, which had such a cute resolution.
Yeah,
where Dipper,
she makes him a Valentine of all the Valentines she got.
He hides in the janitor's closet, and she slides in underneath the door, mm-hmm. and it says, to my favorite brother. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God. I don't hope that happened in real life, but I was thinking that if that's the way that they kind of react to stuff, I'm like, I really hope that they have a great relationship.
Because
they sound like really cool kids if that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's probably the case, because I know that, like, one of the character Bible things for Dipper and Mabel is that they are always friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, that is the case.
Yeah, they love each other. Like, yeah. That's why their bond is so strong.
Exactly. It's not like so many TV shows where the, like, twins or siblings are jerks to each other and legitimately dislike each other.
Yeah.
And they, like, they're just forced to love each other because they're family. These two legitimately are, like...
Yeah,
friends.
I mean, well, and like the same thing happened with Bart and Lisa too in The Simpsons, which I think they ended up getting some of the relationship for the two of them, because at the end of the day, Bart can be kind of obnoxious and Lisa can be a know-it-all, but at the end of the day, when it really kind of comes down to it, they are friends, or they end up figuring out things together.
Right.
Like, they go on a lot of adventures together because they complement each other so well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and Dipper and Mabel are the exact same way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then they, that sort of snaps Mabel out of it, and so then they have to, like, they're running out of the bubble.
Mm-hmm. On Waddles.
On Waddles, who's with... a giant... Go, giant Waddles!
And they've got this knitting needle that they use, like, a lance to be able to break open the bubble.
Yeah,
to burst the bubble to get out of it.
Oh, yeah, and then one thing we totally glossed over is that in the beginning, early in the episode, Bill's like, alright, we've had fun destroying Gravity Falls, let's go mess up the rest of the world. And so all his demons try and go to escape, and they find out that they too are trapped in a bubble. And so he's very angry, obviously, that he can't get out of Gravity Falls.
He has an actual temper tantrum.
And he has,
it's so, like, silly. But I mean, like, it's still scary, but it's just like, wow, he really doesn't know how to, like, he
just doesn't deal.
He's just like a little kid. But,
so many childish ones.
And the reason that the bubble exists there to begin with was, during the events of the last Mabel Corn, when they send Mabel on a, expedition to go get unicorn hair, that's what they were using to, like, create the bubble, because it was,
that's
like,
right.
That, yeah, that's
but
why
I thought they
exists.
Were just doing that around the shack.
I think that was the idea, but I think somehow Ford was able to harness it to become bigger. Other than that, I don't really think that they went
into it. Well, because the shack is, I think they had... I'm going to have to go rewatch now.
Okay, so, well, no, they did part of it, because in the epilogue during the end credits, they kind of, like, go into, Bill's like, okay, so I can't manipulate anybody inside the shack, but I'm sure I can find somebody outside of it. Which, I don't know if, like...
I guess
I kind of assumed that that was the case. Like, that's why they've got that entire, like, that's why the bubble exists, is because of all the stuff that Mabel got. Well, and maybe because she got more hair than she needed, because she beat the crap out of a unicorn to get it.
See, I thought it was that he was building a specific thing to protect the shack, and that's stronger protection, but I think there was some strong, he had protection around the whole town, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I mean, I would probably need to rewatch that, but yeah. I could have sworn that that's what it was, because they, what else did they need? It was...
I don't remember.
It was like unicorn hair and like a bunch of other stuff that I think that they could have just like gotten in the forest or something. But
yeah,
long story short, the demons cannot get out.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was the thing we glossed over, because it's obviously pretty important as a plot point.
Yeah, and apparently also because Bill will have to unfreeze Ford to be able to learn how to open it up or something. Which I am really curious to see where they're going to take it from there, because I don't think that Ford's going to crack, or at least I don't think that he would choose to. So I don't know if he's going to die. I feel like, I get the impression there's been, in season two, there's been a lot of foreshadowing that Grunkle Stan is probably going to die. So we're going to start going into theory mode right now, because we've got X numbers of days left until the next episode airs. It's going to be early 2016. I think it has to be before March. Like, I'm 90% sure that's what it is. Or that's what they're kind of hinting at anyway.
I'm really hoping it's early January.
Please, God.
So I can be here.
I would hope that it would probably be, like, maybe by the end of January. Probably not early. If it was early, they would have announced it by now, so... I don't know. Go figure. Thanks, Disney scheduling, for not giving us any kind of concrete idea. I don't know. That's like the one, because I love this show so much, and I really, really hate that even though they're on a different network, the schedule is still so inconsistent. Because
still Disney.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I don't, why do they have to draw it out so much? Because there are other shows like Phineas and Ferb, or any other like live action shows that get regular airings.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just been this show.
Yeah.
That's not entirely true. Like, Wonder Over Yonder kind of had the same thing. But Wonder Over Yonder had a much shorter, I think, like, season, because they got to end up airing all their episodes roughly within the same block, from what I remember. They also had a hiatus, but it was not nearly as bad as Gravity Falls.
It's not as bad as Gravity Falls, where, middle of season two, let's just have a break.
Well, because, they have, like, Mad Men levels of hiatus, where, like, the longest Mad Men hiatus that there's ever been was, like, a year and a half. Like, it was it was rough.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, let's go into theories. Do you think anyone... Well, someone is probably going to die at the next episode.
Someone's probably going to die.
I assume it's going to be Grunkle Stan. There's no way they're going to kill Dipper and Mabel. They can't kill Dipper and Mabel.
No, they literally can't. Yeah, like, why do you think Grunkle Stan? Because I haven't...
I think Grunkle Stan, number one, because they've got, in sock opera, the Stan puppet that is like the paper bag is flying across the screen on fire when Ave Maria is playing. Also, in the Love God episode with the I Eat Kids air balloon that Grunkle Stan and Seuss make is also on fire and raining down on them, okay. Like, screaming. Like, it seems like there's a lot of foreshadowing that's implying that it's going to be him. Plus, in a different episode where Bill and Ford reunite, I think it was the last Maplecorn, the very beginning of it, where Bill says, "Hey, don't have a heart attack, Ford. You're not 94 yet."
Okay.
I mean, well, because like whenever someone mentions something in the series, like especially something like that, especially a character like Bill, it tends to come back. I really get the impression that that Grunkle Stan is probably going to die because like his arc is kind of done. Like I don't know. Like granted, we don't have as much of an investment with Ford. But I don't know. I really feel like he's probably going to die.
I hope not. I love Grunkle Stan.
I do too, but there's not really much more to do with him, and I think that Grunkle Stan would probably end up sacrificing himself for the kids. If it came down to it, he would do it.
He absolutely would. I mean, that was his thing when Ford showed up, like,
mm-hmm.
You do whatever you need to. I'll be out by the end of the summer.
Yeah.
But you don't touch the kids with this.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't touch them because they're my family.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
Exactly. Right?
So...
Which is still, man, like, the family dynamics.
Like, I really
like,
want that to be resolved, but I don't
like,
think...
For the two of them to, like, make peace or anything. I would love that, too. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think if it happens, it will be that, like, heroic... Like, if Stan's going to die,
mm-hmm.
then I think it might happen.
Yeah. Like, maybe right? as, like Ford, a last thing.
Ford will, like, if... You know, like, if Stan sacrificed himself, Ford will see that and be like, well, I screwed up.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, where so that's he finally comes to terms with, like, I should have been more forgiving. Because, like, he can, like, if Ford kind of sees how much the Dipper and Mabel do for each other, because he hasn't really seen them interact on
no,
that level
he
at
really,
all.
Right, and like, he very much is, like, projecting himself onto Dipper.
Yeah, well.
And there's a specific episode, it might have been the Dipper and Mabel versus the Future.
Which one? What, with the space, the alien?
No.
Dungeons and More Dungeons.
I think it was actually Dungeons and More Dungeons where he really kind of like starts to project himself onto Dipper and be like, they're not like us.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he finally feels like he gets a confidant because it's someone else that he can talk to about.
Exactly.
Like everything that Ford has been invested in and devoted his entire life to is everything that Dipper loves and why Dipper likes being in Gravity Falls. But at the same time, it's like Dipper understands and is mature enough to know that he can't just do that for the rest of his life.
Right. Well, and also,
he doesn't want to.
Also, he loves his sister. Like,
yeah, like, they just get along so well, they can't really be apart. Because as soon as they get separated, bad stuff starts happening.
Yeah. So like, he kind of gets that.
Mm-hmm. But I hope that there's some kind of resolution for that. I hope we, like, I get the impression that everyone is just going to, like, kind of team up. Like, just the whole idea of having the... Bill symbol at the very end of like the beginning of the credits that flashes where it's got all the symbols surrounding it, where there's like the llama, the six-fingered hand, the glasses,
the
pine tree,
weird Pac-Man thing on Stan's hat,
all that stuff, because I think that all those symbols are supposed to be indicative of characters that are going to be used in the uprising, like all of them have some kind of benefit or some kind of way of helping to team up and defeat Bill.
Right.
Yeah. But it's going to take Mabel's manic energy and unpredictability that will end
right,
up
well,
taking him down.
Right, well, she's the shooting star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, I don't know, but, like, the last two times that they've defeated Bill, it's been because of Mabel, because she's thought of other ways around it, wherein Bill only operates... Oddly enough, he's despite being a chaotic being, he's very predictable in some extent.
He's kind of weirdly planned out.
Yeah, like, he can be kind of sporadic and weird sometimes, but generally he feels like there's... Like, he operates with deals, which generally have a set of rules that have to be applied to.
Yeah, treat this like a human.
And practically drowns Dipper, and he's got, like, a fork stuck in his arm. But yeah. That's where I see it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think we'll get into this a little bit more later, probably when the next episode airs.
Yeah.
But this is going to be another long-ass hiatus. God, so many people are, like, they were really torn up when they realized that it was ending. But I like that it has a finite thing and they're not going to let it jump the shark. I really appreciate it. I actually have a lot of respect for the show for, like, thank you for not letting it get crappy.
I was wondering, well, that was my thing, is I was wondering, like, when, like, they're going to end, like, it's going to end. Like, mm-hmm. I know that I trust Alex Hirsch to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I just didn't know where it was going to end.
Yeah.
So two seasons.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's solid. And it's, I mean, technically it's three with, like, how.
The
like,
way it's aired.
Because, like, it started in 2012 and it's going to end in 2016 and there's only two seasons. I was like, my God.
That's every just time a I crappy, think about that, I get so fizzle. Angry.
Yeah, I do too. It's just like, really? Shows like this end up getting the shaft, but like other. Well, anyway. That's just me just being like, yeah. My knees. But, my knees. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll kind of wrap it up there.
Yeah.
But we did want to mention we were recently on another podcast called Cynical Cartoons.
Cynical Cartoonist Podcast.
Cynical Cartoonist Podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Hosted by Tyler Marchant. He also does episodes about, they do reviews of Rick and Morty, and they also do running commentaries for BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
Which are great. So you can sync them up with Netflix and listen to them at the same time. They're really interesting.
Nice. So we were on his podcast talking about Buddy's musical adventure or something like that.
Yeah, Buddy the Elf, the Christmas musical adventure. We did a Christmas special for that, and we've got another one coming out fairly soon.
Yeah, we're he's gonna be on our show. So
yeah, so we did a collab. It was great, and he was a very nice guy. So
So you can check us out on that as well, and then.
Yep, we'll have a link to that. If you check out our Twitter or Instagram, I'm at TC Trausch on Instagram and Twitter. I'll be putting up a image that I made for it that should have a link to it, or you can also check Twitter. There should be a hyperlink to
where it's being hosted. I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think he put up a graphic, or I sent him the graphic through Dropbox, and he put it up recently.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, check that out. We should have some more episodes coming up soon.
Yeah,
while Robbie's here.
Yeah, we have plans to it's just try a lot easier. Some episodes.
It's just a lot easier for us to record when he's like here, because obviously we can like watch stuff at the same time and then just get a couple of things taken care of. So I don't know. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We'll go into that a little bit more later. And thank you so much for joining us, guys. Sorry for the hiatus, but we're glad to be back.
Yeah, we're doing what we can to get on more regular path.
Yeah, so please, if anyone has any suggestions, any recommendations, anything you want us to check out, please just get in contact with us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at TC Trausch on Instagram and Twitter. Robbie is at Lobster Writer on Twitter and at Lobster99 on Instagram. So just
contact
us.
There's a link to our respective Twitters on the page as well.
Yeah, it'll also be on Podomatic. So thank you very much, and we will talk at you
another time.
Bye!